Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Brian Dodd with the Pursuit of Service podcast. Jeff and I are just so excited about this edition. We have a special guest. His name is Jason Stoughton. Jason works for the Maxwell Leadership Enterprise. That's the John Maxwell Leadership Enterprise, to be even more specific, so that you can know who that is. But, just an incredible human being. His story, in my opinion, is one of the most inspiring and unique leadership stories you will ever hear. We'll go into that. Also find out some things that are going on with Jason. And he's helping put on with the Max Leadership Enterprise an incredible event in October. I'm going to be there. I've been to this event several times. Lord willing, I'll be there again. And we would love that if you're in the Atlanta area in October, that you'll be a part of that. But you'll learn more about that in the conversation. Sit back, get ready to take some notes, get ready to learn, get ready to be inspired. By the way, I'm going to give you this in advance. If you think your life is just terrible and you've been dealt a bad hand and you are not going to be able to come through this or something of that nature, I want to invite you to rethink that. So let's get ready, and let's get ready to meet Jason Stoughton, and welcome again to the Pursuit of Service podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Brian, good to see you. And Jason, welcome.
Hey, guys. It's an honor to be here with both of you today.
Well, Jason, we are thrilled to have you. You and I have been friends a long time. I mentioned it in the introduction. The listeners may or may not know my book, Mighty, 7 Skills You Need to Move from Pandemic to Progress. You were kind enough to give me that subtitle. And so I gave you credit for that in the book. I give you credit for it now. And you helped get that message out to the masses. So thank you for your generosity. And thank you for all you do to serve leaders through the Maxwell Leadership Enterprise.
Brian, it's an honor. And you're giving me way too much credit. There's so much I learned from you personally. And anybody that picks up any of your books knows that there's a lot of you that makes that possible and a lot less of other people. So I appreciate that. It's an honor. And if you decide you just want to give me royalties instead of the credit, I'm open for discussion.
I think credit's enough, Jason, but I could be wrong. I'll revisit, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. It sounds good. Conversation for another day.
Yes.
This is great as an innocent bystander watching this, but so it's great to have you, Jason. Once again, thanks for taking the time. You're going to tell us about your background and everything. Your resume speaks for itself. So to take the time out means a lot to Brian and I. So thank you. But let's jump right in there. For the listeners that don't know you or haven't heard of you quite yet, tell us your story. Tell us about your upbringing. What brought you professionally to where you are now? And what are you doing right now?
It's a lot of shifting, sliding doors, but also a lot of awareness and discernment as a young person to pay attention to what people do, not what they say, and to learn from other people's mistakes. But if you've ever found solace in a picturesque countryside scene, I grew up in a tranquil expanse of rural southern Wisconsin. There were vast fields, rustic charm. I grew up on a dairy farm in a close-knit community of about 600 people. But behind that serene landscape, there was a lot of hardship. There was economic struggles and family tension that shaped me during the foundational years of my life. My dad, at a young age, was always my hero. Anytime he was grabbing his keys to his GMC pickup, I heard those keys jingle, and I would run to the door and go find my boots, because wherever he was going, I wanted to go. And he laid a very good foundation of character and integrity in me at a young age. And When we moved to Wisconsin, from Wisconsin to Georgia at the age of 12, for me, kicking and screaming, I was living my best life, if you can say that, at 12 years old in Wisconsin. I had everything that a young boy could ever dream of. You know, I had cornfields in the front yard. I had the Baraboo River was running behind our 86 acres, and we had animals. We would hunt and fish, spent every moment outside, even when it was 80 below zero, you know, bringing in firewood so my family wouldn't freeze to death. So it was the best experience of my life. And then we moved to Georgia at 12, less than a year later. My parents divorced 2 days before my 13th birthday. And my dad shortly thereafter took a job out of the country in San Juan, Puerto Rico, where I was, for lack of better words, not thought of very often. I needed my dad, and he was the biggest figure in my life, and he was no longer there. And my mother was struggling with some of the same challenges and issues that she struggles with today. She's an addict, alcoholic. She struggles with mental health challenges. And she had a lot of men in and out of her life. At 13, the state removed my youngest sister from the home, and I lied to him to stay with my mom and take care of her. I knew somehow deep inside of me, I had the realization at a young age that if I left, my mom would not make it. And so I decided to stay, and that just began a whole lot of unnecessary and unwelcomed experiences in my life that I wouldn't wish on anybody. But what I learned through that process, and Brian, you can follow it up with more questions here, but what I've learned through that process was adversity will either refine you or will define you. I refused after a peripatia moment, and that's just a Greek word that means an awakening or a turning point. In the backseat of my mom's 1985 Mercury Cougar, listening to the radio, reluctantly being in the car with my mother, always sitting in the backseat because we would get into arguments at the first stop sign. I would roll out of the car. I would walk or hitchhike home. There was physical abuse. So I was sitting in the back seat that day and heard a message on the radio that was meant just for me. And that became that peripatia moment in my life where I was just about 2 weeks away from a planned suicide. I had been pilfering my mother's prescription sleeping pills and hiding them under the mattress of my bed. And I, you know, thought if one pill will put you to sleep, then surely 30 would put you in the ground. And I was very reluctant at 14 to want to start high school. I was also diagnosed with later in life with a rare pituitary disorder that hindered my emotional, mental, intellectual, physical, and sexual development. So at the age of 14, when all of my peers were going through puberty, I did not. And I did not go through puberty until I was 21 years old. And during that many years, I was beginning to grow on the inside when I couldn't grow on the outside. But just praying for somebody to put their arm around me, you know, recognize, you know, this 20, soon to be 21 year old still looks 12. And nobody ever did that. Nobody ever did that. So mental note for me, I'm going to spend the rest of my life making myself available to value everybody and let them know intrinsically God created them for great things and they have value, and that I can learn something from every single person that I meet. And the intentionality began to be known what I was known for in my teenage years, because I focused on other people instead of my current circumstances, lot in life, and challenges. which is one of the reasons it took me so long to go get some help and figure out why I wasn't developing. But with a developmental disorder, I was dyslexic. I had cognition challenges because your brain develops at adolescence in ways that it was designed to by our creator. And I never experienced that process until I went to Emory University Hospital and met with the head of endocrinology there, Dr. Ernest Beasley III. And he was the first person that told me that I'll get through this and he's going to help me. And so focusing on other people instead of myself was saving grace for me.
How momentous. And before you go further, I got to ask, what was the message you heard in the car?
Well, I remember being 14 and feeling like a ship lost at sea, rudderless. And we all know that we never drift off to a desired or a positive destination. But it was during one of these trying moments in the summertime of 1987 that I heard the voice of John C. Maxwell on the radio, who at that time was pastoring the Skyline Wesleyan Church out in San Diego. And that moment came to me not as a whisper, but as a powerful call from God, from a car radio. And I remember that that guidance came from somewhere I least expected it. And at that point, it was all about being open and receptive to what those words did to my heart. And I began to shift my thinking. And it was at that time I began listening to him every Sunday at 10:30 on the Joy FM out of Manchester in Atlanta, 93.3 in Atlanta. And that became my beacon. And shortly after that, I asked my grandfather for a subscription to John's Tape Club, the Enjoy Life Tape Club. And I would get these little pink cassettes in the mail with these little workbooks, and I would work through those, and I would listen to them over and over and over again. So had it not been for John Maxwell, I wouldn't be talking to you today.
I know we'll get to it, but just the power of coming full circle as we get to your more recent endeavors, they're just very powerful.
Yeah, I hope the readers. I hope the listeners, and we won't be able to totally unpack it in the time that we have. But imagine you're a 13-year-old kid. You've been abandoned by your dad. Your mom's an addict. As Jason said, and I'll quote him, men are coming in and out of her life, and you're not going through puberty, which means you still look like a little boy when everybody else is moving into teenagehood. And your life is such that there are times you have to hitchhike home and your parent lets you do it. Okay. So this, Jason and I have had a number of conversations that kind of unpack some of these things a little bit, because, and then he hears a message on a radio from a guy named John Maxwell that changes his life. Now, this is where Jason and I, we had known each other, and we had breakfast one morning at Panera Bread, and we shared each other's stories. Now, the funny thing about it is we both came from, I would just classify it as, horrific backgrounds. And we both had intersections with John Maxwell, Enjoy Life Club tapes that changed the trajectory of our lives. And then we both had the opportunity to work for organizations that he founded and work for him directly. Now, there's a person or two between us and John, but work for him directly. So Jason and I became like instant best friends. And so I'll let you, you know, we won't fill in all the blanks, but that's the story. So Jason, you do have this God moment where he intersects your life with content from a guy named John Maxwell. And John has a subject he is incredibly passionate about called transformation. Tell us how your life was transformed once you started utilizing John's material and getting those, you know, monthly tapes and reading the books and stuff like that. And then tell us how you're helping people with transformation in their own lives today. Walk us through your personal transformation and then how God is using that today.
Well, you know, they say pressure makes diamonds, right? The adversity that we face it comes in different denominations. You know, I don't ever want to share my story with someone and be remiss and think that somebody that may hear that may not experience, you know, a certain degree of adversity that likens itself to the challenges that, and obstacles that I faced. But what I've learned is that the adversities that I've faced, along with the contrasting natures of my parents, they became the pressures that really forged my resilience as I was growing on the inside. The challenges I've come to realize in life aren't really punishments. For the longest time, I thought God didn't love me. If there was a God, how could there be a God? Because he couldn't allow these things to happen to me. But what I really learned through that process of coming out from the ether of focusing on everything that's wrong is that they're really opportunities to discover our authentic selves. So a voice from the radio became my guiding star, my lodestar, and a 30-year admiration for John as my mentor, as somebody that I believed in and I knew believed in me. It wasn't just inspiration. It was a journey from being an admirer to becoming certified in his content, taking those same transformational, timeless values and principles and practices to everybody within my sphere of influence, and then eventually working myself out of the pile and being noticed. And now as a cherished colleague who really is a product of the product. So the story, Brian and Jeff, is a testament to how determination in life can turn dreams into reality. So going back to the transformation question, globally, there's about 280 million people that are battling depression and mental health challenges right now. Every 40 seconds, someone takes their life and succumbs to suicide. And those are just more than numbers. It's a clarion call for the importance that hope provides someone. Because you feel hopeless, and soon thereafter, you experience helplessness. And it becomes easy to think that your life doesn't matter. But leadership and purpose in life, finding your purpose through your pain and linking up your giftedness, your strengths that God's given you, different from anybody else, linking that stuff together and then tying it to your passion is going to allow you to not just eventually become successful, however you want to judge or define success, but even more than that, it's about finding fulfillment and significance in life. Because John says it best: once you experience significance or taste significance, success will never satisfy. That's why there's billionaires who are floundering around in life without purpose, you know. And so, my story is just the embodiment of what we do globally today. And it just happens to be my story. But once you take the information that you have and you become intentional because most people do live their lives by default. They take life as it comes rather than leading their lives with intention. Once you begin that shift, you know, you realize that growth's only guarantee is that tomorrow will be better than today. And that became my driving force in life, was to figure out how to become just a little bit better today than I was yesterday. And then realize tomorrow is a whole nother opportunity for me to layer my growth. But it's a crazy story, but it just goes to show you if you allow God to make your path straight, and you embrace your calling in life and His will for your life, you find out really quickly that the safest arena to be in is God's will for your life. And you don't want anything other than that. Now, I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes. I've had some personal failures. I've been divorced, remarried, got two beautiful kids, daughters. Little Anna, 17, at Bremen. She is graduating this year, and just an incredible kid on the inside, beautiful on the outside. And Farron, with my current wife, a 10-year-old that is, it's just humbling as I unpack some of this to you and your listeners, for me to say those things as somebody that showed up at his 10-year class reunion and my English teacher say, "I didn't think you were going to make it. I always worried and had a lot of concern for you." And also somebody that was told he would never have children either. You know, I was told that I would not have kids just because of my condition. And, you know, modern medicine's great. It served me well. But there's nothing like the divine surgeon that knows us better than we know ourselves. And for him to make those decisions on who he wants to allow to have these legacy moments happen. And so it's a blessing. But today, alongside John, I am immersed in transformational work that centers on values-based, people-centric servant leadership. The highest calling of leadership is to serve. So our mission isn't just about personal growth, although, you know, John's known for leadership, but he'll tell you all day long, the only reason he's known for leadership is because he's embraced personal growth. The only reason I'm in John's enterprise as an employee is because of personal growth. And now it's about reshaping societies. It's remembering that the world changes one leader, one person at a time.
Yeah, you know, I'm really privileged in the fact that you wouldn't know this, but I literally right now I'm on a Zoom call, which will be recorded and you'll hear it in the podcast. But with two men I greatly admire, you know, Jeff Wright, I greatly admire, Jason Stoughton. I understand. Funny thing, Jason, I had the chance to go back and speak at the church where I grew up as a teenager. And some of the people who were my Sunday school teachers at the time also told me we didn't think you'd make it. And it's just, you know, to see the man that Jason Stoughton has become and what God has done in his life, from that 13-year-old boy that we were talking about earlier to the man he is today and his beautiful family, it's just a testament to the goodness of God. You know, Jason, you are a student of leadership. And you, I love what you said. There's probably about 10 people on the planet that, as it relates to John Maxwell, are a product of the product. We're the living embodiments of the product, and you and I are two of them. But other than John, I mean, who are some leaders that you kind of look at and you greatly admire, and why do you admire them?
Well, my dad, you know, passed away on Valentine's Day in 2021, and at the beginning of this podcast, I shared how I was desolate. You know, he left and was not in my life. In my 20s, I realized in order to get what I wanted, and not from a selfish point of view, but from a biblical one, I had to give what I wanted to get. So I began pursuing my dad, like Jesus pursues each and every one of us, and forgave him and my mom many, many years prior. But I began to intentionally build that relationship that I always wanted with my dad. And the last 25 years of my life were fulfilled with my dad being my hero. And so I would not do your listeners justice, and I would not be answering the question honestly if I didn't say that we serve a God of restoration, a God that can close the gaps in our life. We just have to be moving in the direction that he wants us to, and living out the truths and the principles that are timeless and flawless and always work, maybe not on our calendar, but on his. In the last 25 years of my life, my dad was my other hero. There's a lot of people that I look up to and a lot of people that I follow. You know, a good leader just mentors you from across the room. They don't have to say very much because they're living it out, lips and shoe leather. Mm-hmm. And aside from my dad and John, I would have to say that a man by the name of Todd Cash from Haskell, Oklahoma, came into my life in September of 2000 in a business opportunity. And there was something about me that drew Todd to me. He was a fireman and a football coach, teacher. He hustled on his time off to make money for his family, but always had more paycheck at the end of the month, you know, or more month at the end of the money at the end of the month, I should say. Yeah. But he was able to become extremely successful as an entrepreneur in business, and became a multimillionaire many times over. And Todd was somebody that poured into me. He saw something in me that he wanted to cultivate, and he knew I was fertile soil. And to this day, Todd Cash is on that top list of top three people in my life who I look up to, and who has been integral in my life at helping me understand the old Zig Ziglar statement that we all heard a million times, is if you help enough people get what they want out of life, they'll help you get what you want. And that's exactly what's happened for me personally. And that's what Todd was able to model for me. I remember going from just a face in the crowd in a company with over 300,000 people who are a voluntary army, to being one of the top 30 producers in the entire organization, getting on private jets and flying to remote places in the Rockies to pursue another passion of mine, hunting, bow hunting. And Todd would have somebody, his pilot, fly out to Carrollton, fly in a private jet to go meet him, to go hunt for a week or two, and wondering why that's happening to me. I don't deserve that. But he understood what it meant to duplicate yourself. And the only time that you can get leverage in your organization, anytime you can get leverage in your relationships, in your family, and in life in general, it is to reproduce yourself. You know, that's the five levels of leadership from John. That's level four, reproduction. You have to you have to reproduce yourself. And only people with integrity and character worth following can do that. And that's exactly what Todd Cash is and has been to me.
Well, that's profound. That's quite a lineup. And if there's a bit of an underlying theme to your story, it's just the importance of that type of mentorship, right? Even when he talked about when you lacked it, how harmful that was. And then when you had your epiphany, that's what you were going to do, is make yourself available to do that. And then, you know, some of the people you've talked about that brought you along, and that's that kind of personal leadership part, right? We think about mentorship as just someone that is going to either listen to my problems or give me advice, but it's really someone that's going to shepherd you and go alongside you. And I can see that all through your story. So if we think about that in the context of leadership, first of all, describe your role with the Maxwell organization now.
Well, I currently help oversee the extension of John's influence platform through his thought leaders group. Mark Cole, our CEO, and in my top five of leaders I respect, Mark Cole is number four. Mark's story and just his ability to lead and serve and to do it with humility and authenticity is inspiring beyond anything I've ever seen before. He is unbelievable as a person and as a leader. But John and Mark wanted to compound and leverage John's legacy years, mm-hmm. and share his platform with, you know, handpicked people that do have the same DNA, that are values-based, people-centric, servant leaders that he has had opportunity to watch grow. And so I've got the privilege to work alongside of Jeff Henderson, Don Yeager, Valerie Burton, Mark Cole himself, Joel Manby. And these are people that are successful financially, but they're also thought leaders that are globally recognized. And so I get to steward those moments and help those people move the needle for organizations, for profit, not for profit, and oversee that new space, that new vertical. Aside from that, I have the privilege of the last couple years of helping oversee a 20-plus year event that John did. It's a 3-day leadership experience called Exchange. And I remember hearing Exchange many, many years ago on Maximum Impact CDs that I would get in the mail after we retired the cassette tapes. That came full circle too. So overseeing that event. And then, you know, we've got another event that we do annually here in Atlanta called Live to Lead. And it's a simulcast that allows our coaches to utilize that tool and take it to their communities and build not only a reputation and credibility, but to be able to build their businesses, independent businesses. So worldwide, we've got close to 50,000 certified coaches in over 166 countries around the world. And it's the largest coaching company in the world. And Live to Lead is a tool that allows people to join it live in Atlanta this year. It's on October the 6th, as Brian indicated early on. But I have the privilege of helping oversee those events and the thought leaders.
That's so cool. And so you're really where the rubber meets the road, or as I like to say, on the front lines of leadership applied. So interacting with groups, I mean, all the thought leadership you're talking about, you're on the front lines and the challenges that people and organizations and leaders are seeing. So what are the one or two, you know, most prevalent leadership challenges that you're seeing today from the folks that you're teaching and leading?
There's an inconsistency out there. You know, we live in a very divisive world right now. It's amazing. If I was to have fallen asleep 3-4 years ago and just now I woke up from a coma, I would think I was living in a dream. You know, my spiritual journey as a Christian introduced me to the world of purpose and faith. It taught me ultimately the essence of servitude, compassion, unwavering commitment, you know, loyalty, helping others. And parallelly, you know, John's content, his teachings illuminated the path of leadership for me. And over the decades, these two worlds and my personal growth became synonymous with my leadership journey. So to see a valueless world where we unite our enemies and we divide our friends, and we live in a world that is foreign to the basic tenets and precepts of what life is all about, in the very first sentence of The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, the number one selling book in the world, minus the Bible, he breaks it down. Everybody's eyes are turned inward today. It's about what I can get. It's about me. But the first sentence in that book says, life is not about you. Which leads me to say, okay, with one trifling exception in this world, it's composed of billions of other people. I'm that one trifling exception. And if I'm putting all the emphasis on me, then I'm missing the boat. I'm missing it in a major way. And what's sad today is to see where our youth is, understanding that we have a responsibility to our young people. And the number one responsibility to them is to show them they're valued, show them they have value, but teach them good values so they can live those values out and teach other people good values. And so that's why, in terms of the timing, if you've read John's book, Change Your World, it's all about values-based transformation. And we need that. So within the enterprise, we've got 7 countries right now that we're in at the request of presidents and heads of state to come in and transform their country with values-based, people-centric servant leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. You know, somebody very well renowned in the leadership space said that, John Maxwell. but leadership rises and falls on values. And so we have to get back to the things that matter. And what matters is living out values, but understanding they're timeless. They don't change. And it's like the law of gravity. I mean, if you don't believe in gravity, you know, climb up to the second story of your house and jump off and you will believe in it. We found ourselves in an eroding society today where we're not respected as a country because we don't respect our people. We don't respect each other. And so the biggest problem that I see personally, contrasting it from my life and how values have served me well, is we have lost our way because we have lost sight of good values.
Well, audience, you know, when you listen to Jason, there are just several things that pop out at you. Number one, how much God can change a human life. And if you're feeling insignificant today, or that you don't have value or you don't have meaning, God found this man in the back seat of a car in rural Georgia at the time. Middle of nowhere, rural Georgia, God found him in a back seat. And now, because of what God's done in his life, through values, through personal growth and development, through Christian maturity, through great influence of other great leaders, Jason is now in a position where he influences either directly world leaders or people who influence world leaders who influence millions of people. And I'm not saying that would be the journey God would have you on, but God would give, if you think your life is meaningless, God can find you wherever you are and give you just as significant a mission for your life and a purpose for your life within its scope and meaning. Let me say this about Live to Lead, and then I'll let Jeff have some final words and Jason closing out, telling us how we can be part of Live to Lead. It is a wonderful one-day event. I have been to it probably two or three times. Didn't get to go last year because there was this minor little event called my daughter's wedding, which I played a major role in. So I didn't get to go last year. But
get your priorities right, Brian.
Come on, man. Yeah, exactly.
you get a pass last year, but not this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, losers make excuses, winners make decisions, right? That's okay. Right. So, but I think I won that one. But Lord willing, I'll be back this year. So that is the plan, and that is on the calendar. And so I can't recommend enough that if you can be in the Atlanta area, that you know, Jason's going to give all the information, but you'd be part of that. I'd love to meet you in person. I know Jason would. I think Jeff's planning on being there, and would love to meet you in person. Love to have you a part of that event. And here's the deal. And I want to repeat this. I don't want to understate it. Jason and I should have been statistics. We were on the pathway of being statistics, but God used, you know, many things, but a primary thing was the teaching of John Maxwell to put us on a completely different trajectory. Yep. And that is one of the many reasons, God's goodness and grace being the main one, but that is one of the many reasons Jason and I get the privilege of being here with Jeff today. If you can be there October 6th, be it Live to Lead, it could change your life like it changed Jason and mine. So, Jeff, any final thoughts? And then we'll let Jason close it out with how to be part of that event.
The mentorship, the teaching, and Jason said it well, the giving of yourself for the benefit of others. That's what we're all about here in, you know, all three of us in this room, so to speak. So just Jason, can't tell you how much we appreciate you sharing and opening up. And every time you talk about the challenges, I'm sure you're reliving the trauma just a little bit, but it's sad value to Brian and to myself and to our listeners. And we're grateful for that. So as we wrap, yeah, tell us how to get involved with.
Can I interrupt you and you, I apologize for one second. I want to say this because this, we don't want to water ski over this. And then Jason, like Jeff said, close us out. I'm reading a book right now, Greg Hardin's book called Stay Sane in an Insane World. Okay. He's a peak performance coach for the University of Michigan. He's coached people like Tom Brady, Michael Phelps, Charles Woodson, and Desmond Howard, Heisman Trophy winner, that type of thing. He's got an interesting phrase in it called, you need to forgive your parents for not being perfect. Amen. I have forgiven my parents. Amen. Jason has forgiven his parents. Somebody on here needs to, you need to forgive your parents for not being perfect. And it might have been horrific and it might have been bad, but you need to free yourself up. Yep. And forgive your parents. So thank you for letting me interrupt and throw that little tidbit in there. Jason, close us out, my man. Tell us how to be part of Live the Lead.
Absolutely. And thank you for interrupting, because I believe with all my heart, somebody needed to hear that. You know, there's only one person in my mom's life today. And it's the person that she neglected the most. And that's me. And I talk to her sometimes every day. And forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. So from somebody who's been there, has every reason to never talk to his parents ever again, that would have been the worst decision I could have ever made for my life. And now my children get to see me modeling out unconditional love every single day. And there's no greater thing I could do for my kids than to show them how to do that. So Live to Lead. If my journey resonates with you guys, if you're growth minded, if you're seeking growth, if you're seeking transformation, Leadership Insights. I do have a golden opportunity for you. Growth does happen best when it happens in community. Since 2020, the pandemic, we have been offering Live to Lead as a virtual outlet. But this year, collectively, me and the team just decided, you know what, let's not make it a virtual offering. We'll provide the simulcast and the licensing for our coaches, but we want to grow in community with people. There's no replacement for relationships and networking. Your net worth is always going to be tied to your net work. So why not broaden it out, right? So I'm gonna ask everyone to go to Live to Lead. That's LIVE, the number two, lead, LEAD, livetolead.com. And join us for a leadership experience on October the 6th. It's not just a conference. It's really a convergence of brilliance. John Maxwell, the man that changed my life, Brian's life, and so many other people's lives, a global icon on leadership. He's written more on leadership than number two, three, four, and five have written combined. More than anybody that's ever walked the planet. Kendra Scott, she's the embodiment of entrepreneurship and philanthropy. Her jewelry empire, it really does exemplify both the creativity side and the compassion side. She's got a $1 billion company that she started in her living room today. Marcus Buckingham, one of my favorite speakers, authors. He's written for Harvard Research. They use his content because nobody processes data by focusing on where we're failing and learning from it. He's a pioneer in the strengths revolution. He has reshaped the world of work as we know it today and leadership with his groundbreaking research. And he's a fantastic communicator, and he's got a British accent. So who doesn't want to come listen to a sharp, good communicator from England, right? I encourage you to come. And then also an up-and-comer who I've got a very close personal friend. I had a chance to spend some time with him just last week, Ryan Leak. Ryan is a beacon of inspiration, to say the least. He's best known for his work called Chasing Failure. You can find he does a little documentary with Kobe Bryant before Kobe's tragic end. And so he teaches us how to look at failures as stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. And then so we've got a half a day. You can come at 8:30. You'll be done by 12:30, and you'll feel like you had a college education on leadership in 4.5 hours. I promise you that. So together, all that is going to be a big promise of a day that's going to be filled with profound insights, transformative ideas. And we're also going to give you tools to turn your leadership aspirations into really a palpable actions item. So I'm going to challenge you. Don't miss this chance. Your lighthouse might just be a click and a ticket away on October the 6th in Lawrenceville, Georgia, at 12 Stone Church Lawrenceville campus in Gwinnett. And if you go there and purchase a ticket, use the coupon code PURSUIT, and you'll get 10% off. And if you bring 10 people, you buy 10 tickets, you'll get 10 more percent off. So we've got three different levels. You check them out, see which one works for you. I encourage you to be in the room. I'd love to shake your hand, give you a hug, and grow in community with you.
There you have it. Thanks, Jason. Listeners, take it and run with it. It's there for you. Jason does it, and I'll encourage you to serve others, not as a task, but as a purpose.